This series of Kicking It Off is sponsored by Bazooka Goals, Airpitch, and 3v3 UK. Having been a coach for over three decades, I know how important it is to have equipment that's easy to use and immediately engages the players. Bazooka Goals is the award-winning pop-up goal that's the perfect partner for small-sided games and training. Remember, every dream starts with a goal. And if you want to take your games to the next level, Airpitch's unique system keeps the ball in play 95% of the time. And coaches, if you're like me and want to bring the best of football, futsal and street football together, then 3v3 UK hosts tournaments and festivals around the country, as well as having a great franchise program. It's all about fast feed fun. All three of these brands will help you create a fun-filled, vibrant environment in which to produce the happy, active, skillful players of the future.
And welcome to Kicking It Off, the podcast for those interested in sports, football, and the coaching of young children. For those listeners who tuned in last week, we had a really, really brilliant and interesting chat with Chris Pascal, and she's the director at the Centre for Research in Early Childhood. And it was so interesting and a conversation that could have gone on for a really, really long time. But there are a few things that we did want to reference from that chat that we're going to talk about now in more detail, and ways that you can implement these thoughts as a coach directly into your coaching sessions. So today we're going to be talking all things play, planning your session with your group in mind, and then how we might begin to give our young children more voice and choice. So let's start with play, Dad. I'm going to hand over straight to you there.
Yeah, thanks. I really enjoyed the chat with Chris. I've known her for about 12 years and we've worked really closely together. But every time I listen to her, I'm just inspired, and I just feel as though I need to get with a group of young kids so that we can begin to implement all of the great advice and all the great things that she spoke about. And if you're a grassroots coach listening to this, it might be really worth pointing the parents of the children of your group to this podcast, because as parents, we do have to learn on the job. And I think some of the things that Chris spoke about, particularly about early years development, are really useful for parents as well.
Just in general, not just for parents whose kids are involved in sports or in football. Some of the wisdom that Chris was, you know, was dropping out, they were brilliant,
yeah,
and could just be applied in so many different situations in life.
Yeah. And I get asked so often, how can we deal with parents, or how should we deal with parents? I know we've mentioned this before, but for me, you bring them on board. And if we can get them to listen, even if it's selected parts of Chris's chat with us, I think that would be really useful. And if you're following some of the guidelines on this series of podcasts, and also you're engaging with our website at thesessioncollective.co.uk, I think it will help you bring the parents on board, because they'll have a much clearer understanding of your approach and what things you want to prioritise.
I think so. And so obviously one of the three things that we mentioned that we'd like to refer back to from Chris's conversation, one of them being play. So what was it from Chris's conversation about play that you wanted to refer to again today?
Yeah, I think it was loud and clear from Chris about the importance of play. But I think in a footballing sense, if a coach turns up and organises some small-sided games and doesn't really say a lot, I know that from the coaches that they think a lot of parents will be thinking, well, you're not actually coaching my child. And I think we have to try to address this notion that if kids are playing, they're not learning. And play is not a waste of time in some adults' eyes, because it's very, very multi-layered. And play in its purest sense is self-initiated. So the children will be in charge and in control of what the play looks like. And that's a really important feature if we're trying to give the kids more voice and choice. It doesn't mean that we can't be involved in helping to shape it, but play in its purest sense is self-initiated. There's no real conclusion or end point to it. It can last for 10 minutes or it can last for, you know, 3 hours. But the children are in control, and that's a really important thing to remember. And the game can also change and morph and develop as where the children want to take it. That links again with giving some of the children more autonomy, because in our sessions, I know I certainly do, I'll say to the players, we're doing quite well at this. How could we make it harder? Where could we take this game? And then we begin to use some of the ideas that the children might have. So in essence, play is about the child and they're in control of it. I think in a footballing sense, we have to look at almost a different version of what play can look like so that we retain all of those things when it is initiated by the child. But we can also play a supporting role, and I do mean a supporting role, not grab all the decision, all the control, all the organisation, but just play a real supporting role in pointing out learning opportunities. There might be opportunities to extend the learning in a particular direction, and that's our role.
And so with all that in mind, if a coach is sat down now and they want to write their session for the next, they're seeing the kids on Monday and they've got a bit of time to now prep. With all of this talk about play and giving their kids more voice and choice, what activities, exercises could they include in when they're planning their session that would facilitate an environment that would allow for the kids to have more voice and choice and for play to be a really prevalent part of that session?
Yeah, I mean, you've phrased the question really nicely, because in play, that's where children begin to make sense of the world that they're living in. So if there's, if children engage in role play, they might be replaying conversation that mum and dad have had, or if they've been to the doctors and they become the doctor, they assume that role. So they're beginning to make sense of the world and the society that surrounds them. The world that we want to help them understand and construct a really deep knowledge of is football. So a great way to start is with a game of football. And the autonomy can come from them deciding, if we're playing small numbers, do you want to go 2v2? Do you want to play 3v3? But we're going to start with a game, and you have an element of choice about that. Also, the environment that the game is played within is more about the children playing and you observing for those critical moments where you could actually praise, give some feedback, or actually say, this might help you. I've even used the phrase, do you need my help? Because in this game, we're having a little bit of success here, but we may not be scoring a lot of goals. Is it something that you want to try to sort out for yourself? So we'll allow them to explore and experiment. Or if you need me, I'm here.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice balance between giving them the autonomy to play, but letting them know that I'm here to support you if you need me.
And we talk a lot about having that open dialogue between coach and kids, that for them, knowing that they have the choice in asking for help or not, because I think it's a really great thing to go, there's a problem here, and I think as a group, we're capable of solving it. But knowing that there is an option, that there is an adult there, there is someone who has that can be that extra bit of support, but to foster that in our young players from the beginning is just a great mindset that they can then grow and develop. So obviously we're talking about play and we're talking about planning sessions, but every coach is going to have a different set of kids that they're playing with. So I'm assuming that it's good practice to cater your session to your group of kids, and that we might pick up a session from our website, we might have a session already, but it's really worth molding that and shaping that to the players that you're working with.
Absolutely. I'm going to take a step back because you mentioned something that's absolutely critical, in that one of the things that you mentioned was part of being a really good problem solver is knowing who to ask if you need help. And that's not just if you're an 8-year-old learning to play football. That's right through life. And I think if you can build the environment where that becomes the norm, then that is seen as a real strength, asking for help, rather than a weakness. So, but we have to almost dangle the carrot to say, look, I am here if you need me. And then praise them, saying, do you know what? If there's ever anything that you're not sure about, finding out who the best person to ask is really skillful, and it's going to help you a lot. So I think we need to nail that.
Yeah, and whether they have to ask one of their teammates or whether they have to ask a coach, that it doesn't always have to be, you don't always have to ask an adult, is this a problem that you can all solve together?
Yeah. But going back to your last point about knowing your group and trying to ensure as much as possible that the practices, the games, the activities that you involve them in are for them and not just one that you've plucked off, you know, however good they might be, particularly on our website. So having your players in mind is a brilliant place to start. But I would go a step before then, and on every occasion that I've planned a session, I always, my first thought is, if I was a child playing in this, would I be able to have a bit of fun? Mm-hmm. Would I enjoy it? How could I cheat? How could I bend the rules? And so I've thought about those before I've even put pen to paper.
It's surprising hearing that you consider cheating, Dad. For our listeners, there's no board game or any game that we can play where Dad isn't trying to figure out a way that he can cheat.
I think that's
and
where
to
I get
win.
It from. Yeah, but it's not cheating in that really nasty or vicious sense. It's actually saying, well, I'm exploring all the possibilities, and can I do this, or what will the coach do if I do this? And rather than be a coach that says, oh, you're spoiling my session, stop it, you've already thought about the ways that they can manipulate this to their advantage. And instead of it being a bad thing, you can say, that's really creative, but we're going to play like this. So you just bring in another rule. It's really hard to do that if you're thinking on the spot. So I always try to build time into my sessions thinking, if I was 8, how would I try to get out of this? And kids are used to those cheats or those quick, you know, jumps onto the next level in computer games. So their minds are already working in that way. So taking time during your planning, make sure it's something that the kids are really going to enjoy. And if it's a warm-up, or, well, for me, most activities, they've got to be high energy, lots of activity, everybody involved. Everybody's got a chance of having some kind of success. And I think you're off to a great start.
I feel like that was definitely something that we talked about with Chris, where she mentioned you have to plan to allow for spontaneity. And those two things sound almost, they're opposites, aren't they? That actually being really structured and having a more formal style of play, you actually need an element of that to then allow for this freedom and this free play to exist. And I think that's only something a coach can do themselves, getting to know their players, getting to know their family, which again is something that we talk about a lot of. The more we can get everybody involved, parents, whether that's teachers, guardians, whoever is bringing these kids to this session, the more we know them and the more we know there's this friendship over here and these always try to play little jokes, maybe that's something we can involve in the session. Or it was something that you mentioned before we hit the record button. Oh, as a group, it was a great example that you gave. As a group, we are losing the ball and it's going out of play. If that is something that's always happening, these mistakes in inverted commas, because mistakes are necessary to learning, these mistakes or habits are happening. I know that these are happening. So rather than getting frustrated at these kids that something's happening in this practice that is just inevitable. How do I then include something in the session that creates a parameter around that? Yeah. I think is a really useful thing that
a coach
can do. No, I'm glad
you mentioned that, Lauren, because two things are important. You need to know your own players and the individual characters within that. But you also need to know what, let's just say, an under eight game or an under nine game looks like in general, because you could pretty much predict, certainly the one that you mentioned, that the ball is going to go out of play a lot. The younger the players are, it can be because they're not quite sure of the boundaries on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And particularly if we use cones, sometimes it's a bit difficult to stick within those boundaries. And as they get older, it might be because technically their ability to keep the ball under control and manipulate it is not quite there yet. So the ball is going to go out of play a lot. So as you quite rightly said, rather than see it as, you know, a negative and you get frustrated by it, I know in the past I have things that happen when the ball goes out of play. And that can be anything. I mean, the reins are off. We've had the ball's gone out of play and there are some other different shaped and sizes balls along the side. So you leave the one that's gone out of play and you bring one of the other ones into play. And if that's a rugby ball, then when you bring that into play, we play rugby and we're looking to touch down. And the beauty of that game is that the children have to do different types of movements because they're playing rugby. They have to support in a different way. There can be more physicality, but we normally play tag. So we're also looking at the timing of the release of that pass. And sometimes it's easier for some kids to get it when they're using their hands. But you can remind them that when we play with the ball at our feet, when you release the ball at the right time and in the right way, that's a really important lesson that you've just shown you can do brilliantly in tag rugby. So I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a really good example of how we can work with the children, making sure that we've covered those things within our planning.
And something else that we just talked about there, which is we've been recording these podcasts in a bit of a strange order. So we've just had a really great chat with a guest that's going to appear a little later in the series. But something that they mentioned, and it was, again, preempting a potential problem of having a group of kids where, yep, we've mapped out the area of play with some cones, but they're still maybe not that comfortable or not that sure where it is. So do they just run around within this space, and do they make this shape themselves and are physically exploring this place before a game has even begun? They are physically creating these borders, these parameters themselves, so that their awareness and their level of comfort in this space has just increased.
Yeah.
Because then as a coach, if you are preempting, or they're always not quite sure of the cones, or just for whatever reason, whatever age, like you said, there will be lots of different reasons to explain this potential problem, but that's something that can just be introduced as a bit of fun. Is it a game of tag? Is it a bit of chase? Is it just let's get our legs moving and run around like pretending we're pirates, if we're bringing that play and that imagination? But then that is something that potentially the kids don't know is playing a part of problem solving, which is allowing them more space to problem solve for other things.
Yeah. And this is where you can create a real dialogue with the players, because you can say the space is quite small. So what does that mean when we're playing this game or you're involved in this activity? And so you get an understanding of what they think the problems might be. And it also gives you something to refer back to. So if I say to you, Lauren, we're going to play tag and it's a very small area, what are the problems that you think you might have? After a few minutes, we can go back and say, remember what you said, Lauren, you haven't got a lot of space to dodge and to run into. So you might get tagged a lot. So I could say, well, if we put the tag in a particular place, you'd be able to turn your body away from the person who was trying to tag you so that you could shield it. Then you relate that to shielding the ball. So you're now not shielding the beer ball, the target. what you're doing is really structuring the learning in such a way that it's experiential. The kids are getting lots of tries at it. You're looking for feedback all the time, both from you as the coach, but also internal feedback from the young child. And really, that's how you move the children from where they are to where we obviously want them to be.
And so for a coach planning a session, that one of the things to consider is, yep, we have these problems. Is there an activity? The great example of the ball keeps going out of play. There are other balls from different sports that when the football goes out of play, whatever is there, they grab and introduce, and actually they're learning about their bodies, how it moves, and they're learning skills that we can then relate to football, but just through other fun and exciting avenues. Because again, this podcast obviously has a focus on football, but we are talking about child development and just healthy bodies.
Absolutely.
And whatever sport that is.
Yeah.
So we have touched a lot on giving young children more voice and choice. Are there any other activities or ways that a coach could allow for this to happen in a session? Something just to drop in that is increasing kids having more choice and more voice in their sessions?
I think voice and choice has, for me, has a very clear starting point, and it's the coach's ability to listen attentively to the kids. And it could be that you pick on something that they say, what they've done at school, what they're doing in a project at school. And that might be, oh, I heard you talking about the Vikings. So this game is a game of tag, and we're going to have, you know, the big Viking is going to catch all you little sprogs or whatever it is. So you use their ideas. Also, we know that in the playground, it's not organized by adults. The children will play. And if I like to use a lot of tag games and tag and chase games for warm-ups, for high energy, and to really get the blood flowing. And I would often say to the children, what kind of tag games do you play in the playground? And then what you're doing is not only drawing them into the session, but my next question would be, do you want to set it up here? So would we need a big area, small area? I'll mark it out for you. You have a word with everybody, get them to understand which game you're going to play. And what we've found with kids' games is if it's being played in this school, it's probably being played in a school,
absolutely,
just down the road. But the kids are actually demonstrating what their world is like, and they're really shaping what the session looks like. And for me, I think that's really powerful. And next week, it might be, I need somebody else to organise a tag game. So if there's a game that you play in school, could that be the warm-up for next week? And who wants to do it? Oh, little Susie. Yep. So remember, next week, you're doing it. Do you need any help? You're going to get John to help you. Okay, that's your role for next week. And suddenly it begins to snowball.
It's a continuation of a world that they're already existing in. Regularly, every day, Monday to Friday, most likely for most kids in school, that the ability to delegate roles amongst themselves, and then it's not quite the same as homework, but it's okay, next week they've been given a task and a responsibility. And I think that is important to start bringing in, that they are responsible for how we begin the next session. And there's, you know, I would feel really proud of that if that was bestowed on me.
I mean, I don't mind pushing the boundaries. And I remember saying to one group, next week, can everybody bring a wooden spoon and a hard-boiled egg? And I got some really strange looks from particularly the parents, but the kids. And I said, if everybody brings it next week, I also want some ideas about what we can do with a wooden spoon and a boiled egg. Mm-hmm. And we had some great ideas, and we just had so much fun. But The kids actually came early with their spoons and their boiled eggs because they were so excited, because they wanted their game or their idea to be tried out. So I think it's difficult as adults to free ourselves up and put ourselves in the world of the child. But I think there's so many benefits from doing that we've just got to take a deep breath and say, do you know what? This is not about me. Yeah. This is about what the children will get from this kind of approach.
Because there's nothing better when I think back to when I was in school or any extracurricular activities that I did, about really being excited to go and excited to share and to contribute. And that's what you want from your sessions. You want that whoever is coming weekly or however, or, you know, whatever frequency it is, that they're excited because they're involved and they feel important, and that that open dialogue, that the ideas that they create and they throw out there are going to be, yeah, maybe not every week, because we've also got to learn about how to balance the space and to balance ideas. And it can't just be, oh, well, this child has thrown out ideas all the time and we'll always take theirs. It's got to be balanced. And that's also something I imagine is really helpful for a coach to, that will exist in a session, of just, okay, it's got to be equal and it's got to be fair for everybody.
Yeah, I know very early on when I was really quite inexperienced, and I never saw myself as a formal coach. And every coach has got a bag of balls. And one week we turned up and one of the players had brought their ball. And he just said to me, Pete, can we use my ball? And I nearly said, I've got a bag of balls here. I've got everything organised, you know. And I said, yeah, go on then. And the warm-up game was the best game we'd ever had, because it was his ball.
Yeah.
And he was so motivated. And then I kept just saying, oh, what's little, you know, Johnny doing with the ball? And he's got it under control because it's his ball. Let's see who can, you know, do better than that. And it was so simple, but it taught me a really important lesson that this is not about me.
Mm-hmm. And so before we wrap up, I've heard you mention something called the seeking system. I don't really know what that is or it is at all. And how does that relate to this conversation that we're having about planning sessions?
Well, it does actually relate to the planning sessions, because it's how we deliver the session. It certainly relates to play and this idea of trial and error and constructing a knowledge of the world around you. The seeking system goes back millions and millions of years, and it really is the thing that made our cave peoples, our ancestors, say, I wonder what's over the other side of that mountain, or I wonder what's over the other side of this desert.
Curiosity.
Absolutely. Curiosity is the driver. Children have an innate and a really accelerated seeking system. They are so inquisitive. Mm-hmm. So for us as coaches, we need to build that into our thought processes when we're organizing or planning a session. There must be time for the kids to either be given a problem, confronted with, you know, a game demand, and then are given time to explore what are the possible solutions. So I think the more we know about these things, the more it should influence what training, coaching, practice looks like, so that we're actually supporting where the children are at in their development, rather than saying, I know you're seven, but we're going to do this. I prefer it completely turned the other way. You're seven, so we must do this. Yeah. There's a much better fit.
That our approach to coaching has to be in alignment with where the kids are developmentally. We need to be aware of what the kids are capable of, because like we've mentioned in this podcast, there are going to be things that are just consistently happening in sessions that are things that we want to maybe eliminate a bit down the line or get more control of down the line. But that's for no other reason other than they're young people, and their bodies and their brains are not
they work differently.
Yeah. They're definitely not where we are as adults, and it takes a long time to get there. So hopefully this episode has dropped in some nice little top tips, things that you can do when you're approaching, when you're writing your next session, or when you're taking a session from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to finish from me, I know I mentioned, you know, little Johnny who brought his own football. There's nothing wrong with saying, for the next session, if you've got a football at home, bring it. Yeah. Then you play for the hour, and every 10 minutes you play with somebody else's with ball. Mm-hmm. Those balls are likely to be very different. So they might be a different size, a different weight. but it's all different experience for the kids. But the personal involvement is the thing that will raise the motivation and the energy, you know, higher than ever. So, and it's such a simple thing to do.
Well, we'll leave it at that, coaches. Hopefully there's some nice, interesting bits that you can take into your next coaching session. Join us next week where we're going to be talking lots about creativity. We'll see you then.
Woohoo!
Thanks again to our sponsors, Bazooka Goals, Airpitch and 3v3 UK, for helping us to create the perfect environment to develop happy, active and skillful players.